One of the most interesting things is the word that's used to describe the Christians in Egypt, which is infidel, which in fact historically is more than a challenge. It's actually a nonsense, because Christians have been in Egypt since the time of St. Mark, since the earliest days of Christianity, and chronologically, Islam in its totality is a religion that was created at a later stage. So I think there's a war of rhetoric, there's a war of violence, and there is a war of persecution. You hear it described in anything towards genocide, and I think one needs to be very clear and very careful about the use of such terms, because I think it's used in relation to situations of wholesale and premeditated destruction of a race or an ethnicity or a religious grouping. I think what is happening, and I think what is a tremendous frustration and sadness to the Christians who are Coptic in Egypt, is that they feel they don't have the regular structured support from the state in terms of keeping terrorists out of their buildings, because I think in particular, in relation to one of the churches on Palm Sunday, where the bomb was actually under a pew in the church, and in the other context, somebody was making their way through a cordon, and they were, as it were, diverted, and so they didn't make their way into the church. So I think there is a plea that the protection, which would be state-focused and state-delivered, is something that Coptic Christians, who are, I think, anything like 10% of the population, feel that they're entitled to as they face the construct that we call ISIS or ISIL or Daesh. And I think the difficulty there is that, and I think anybody of comprehension would say this, that ISIS does not represent Islam. It is a construct which is a self-appointed nation, a nationhood, across the Levant, and therefore it's seeking to establish a kind of nationalism which addresses and attacks in particular those who are at obvious variance and deviation from its own philosophy. So, as we would have found in relation to Iraq and other things, it's not simply Christians, it's Yazidis as well. But I think the anxiety, which ought to be at the heart of Christian people worldwide, is that the largest proportion of Christians in that whole Middle Eastern area is in Egypt, anything up to 9 million.
Yeah, and I mean, they have, I mean, the quotes from people who were present and who were at the attacks are saying that. They're saying, you know, nobody cares about us, nobody's looking out for us, we now don't even have anywhere to pray.
I think that would seem to me to be a kind of a departure from what was, I think people would say, a basic human right, which is to practice your religion. That, I think, is quite a serious thing to hear and a serious thing to say. Everybody realizes that politically, Egypt is in turmoil. It's not alone. I mean, many countries worldwide are. But I think, as we have found time and again in countries worldwide, the integrity and the consistency of political life is to be measured by how majorities treat their minorities.
And Daesh or ISIS or Islamic State, I don't tend to like to call them Islamic State, it almost gives them a legitimacy, but they have always been very symbolic about their attacks. So to attack a Coptic church on Palm Sunday, it seems like there's a lot of symbolism there.
I do think so, and I think that that type of attack would stand in parallel with the sort of attacks that we've seen at, as it were, high-level secular venues in parts of Europe. I'm not comparing them. I'm just saying that they are highly symbolic. I mean, you're talking about Palm Sunday, the day when Christians worldwide grapple with the idea of the Messiah and the King entering Jerusalem with a new kingship or a new kingdom of God, in a paradigm of inverted power by sitting on a donkey. And you have then all of the events of politics and religion, loyalty and betrayal, which work their way out between Palm Sunday to Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then to the sort of conundrum at that stage of resurrection on Easter Day. So you got all of that at what is a really pivotal point of the Christian year. You also have, of course, I think somewhere in the background, the fact that under persecution, as we read of it in the Gospels, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus fled to Egypt. So you have Egypt, as it were, both at the birth of Jesus and now marking with Christians worldwide the idea of death leading to resurrection and new life. So it eats at the heart of what matters to Christian people. And he does it in a place where Christians have been there since what we call the first century, and also where there is the biggest concentration of Christians in the Middle East. So it is highly symbolic for all of those reasons.
I suppose it's also about maybe striking fear with people as well, that people will now have a sense of, well, it's no longer safe to go to a church. A church isn't a safe house anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think, and that's why, as it were, I spoke of airports and shopping centres and cinemas and nightclubs and places where people congregate. Part of the philosophy would seem to me to make people fearful of claiming public space as a place where they're entitled to be. So it has to do with public space, whether it's secular and to do with what you might call regular enjoyment, or whether it's sacred. And it has to do with the worship of Almighty God. So I would completely agree with you that it's highly emotive. And I think that's where I would encourage, as strongly as I could, people who are Christian in other parts of the world, who both want to and need to identify with people in Egypt who have suffered and are carrying this devastation with them as a cross of their own at this time of year, to identify with them in a number of ways. One of which would be to carry these people in your heart as and when you worship, either privately at home or in church. So actually pray for them and with them. The other thing, and I think it's very important, is to talk with any Egyptian people you know, whether they're Christian or Muslim. Because actually they're part of the one nation. And part of, I think, of what, if I may put it this way, ISIS is trying to do, is to divide and destroy people who previously had been neighbours.
Yeah, and I mean, Egypt was known as being, well, maybe a little bit less recently, but it had been known as being something of a country where different cultures did live together, where people did live peacefully, where there was a sense of security, where there was a sense of it was both friendly to the old ways and friendly to the new ways.
And I think, to me, what's very important about all of this is that we would not, as it were, collude with the destruction of that. It's very important that we should not forget that culture is something that is precious. Freedom is something that is precious, but it's hard won and it's hard bought. And I think the really important thing I would say is that create a climate of both sympathy and neighbourliness and carry this suffering with you as you do, as you would pray for other people, perhaps with a specific picture in mind, an icon or something, which would tie you in with this understanding. And the other thing is that if in the fullness of time there is some opportunity to contribute to some fund for reconstruction, that we should do that. Bishop Angelos, who actually is the Coptic bishop of, well, in shorthand terms, England and Ireland, there is a Coptic centre in Stevenage in London, and if people kind of look that up on the website, they will see both very useful resources and very informed and measured comment and criticism about a whole range of issues relating to Coptic and Christian life in Egypt. The other thing is that Coptic Christians, like other people from the Middle East and elsewhere, are an international diaspora. Bishop Angelos himself was born in Australia. He's a Coptic monk and a bishop. But I mean, people are accustomed to a global and an international life as well as a particular local geographical origin. And I think that's the sort of thing I'd want to respect.
Is there though also a danger that there will be more of a response to a Christian atrocity than there maybe has been to some of the Yazidi atrocities or some of the atrocities where Daesh have turned on Muslims who they believe aren't quite in line with them.
Well, I know it's not a direct comparison, but I mean, I have a friend who's a Nigerian and an archbishop, and he told me about Borno State, which is where Boko Haram is, that actually it's 96% Muslim. So there is something really important about not making an easy correlation between ISIS and Islam, which I tried to say at the beginning. Now, I think we can always make that criticism of everybody, but I do think that it is important that Christian people should stand in solidarity with people who are fellow Christians and who are taking this particular journey and walk with Jesus Christ in Holy Week. I would hope it would not mean that if there were something which were a parallel atrocity with people who were Muslims or people of no faith or no known faith, that we wouldn't likewise be outraged. So I think that it is specific to a highly emotive and orchestrated attack at a particular time of the year that really matters to Christians worldwide. And that would be my argument for the solidarity.